Good morning. Well, if those of you who are old on the old Facebook, you'd realise that there's going to be another male in the Rooker household. We were seriously getting outnumbered. So the scales are evening up a bit, but I think 8's a good number to stop now. We said that in number 3. It's like, you know. But children are a blessing from the Lord, amen? They're inheritance from God, it says in Scripture. And we train a child up in the way that it should go, so they do not depart from it. And also as well, it says in Scripture that children are like arrows in a warrior's quiver. And blessed is the man who has a full quiver, because they shall meet their enemy at the gate. What that means is that God loves family. God loves children. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And so when we get the privilege to actually have our lives, you know, a part of children's lives, you know, we're to actually train them up and teach them, and they become arrows, and they get sent out into the world, and they meet the enemy at the gate. And, you know, and it says that Jesus Christ said that when Peter asked him, "Who do people say I am?" and he said, "You know, you're the Son of God." He said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon this revelation I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so when we send kids out with Jesus Christ as the rock, they go and meet the enemy at the gate with truth, with love, with the kingdom of heaven. So please, I encourage you, you know, with your children, is spend time with them. I know some families here who, you know, really love their kids and spend time in the Word with them, and their kids, you know, flourish. You know, they actually flourish in the Word of God. So kids are not, you know, too young to understand stuff. They're a lot smarter than we think sometimes. And also as well, speaking of, you know, family, we have one of our family members who's returned back from Germany with us. Kiara, would you like to stand up? Sure. Everyone say, "Hi, Kiara." So Kiara's actually been gone for a whole year. And she's... So if you get chance after service today, go up and say hello and give her a hug. And we're very blessed to have you back, Kiara. So thank you for being in, because you've just got back on a flight on Friday, was it? You got back Friday night? Yeah. So she's back. So go and give her a hug. So who was here last week? Okay. So, yeah, we had a bit of a change of plan last week. I basically didn't get to share the message that I had because God was doing other things. And that's okay. You know, it's His church. So He can do what He likes. You know, but obviously the prophetic flow and release in the church was really powerful last week. And there was words being shared and people being touched and actually being impacted by the Word and also the worship as well. And we had also a guest minister as well, Pastor Peter Luke. And he came and shared a word with us, you know. And who remembers it was basically about the Elijah with the offering, and that the water and the wood that they put on the offering for the sacrifice. And he was saying, like, that just doesn't make sense. You don't pour water on wood and expect it to catch on fire, but it's the fire of God that came and burnt it all up. And we need to have eyes of faith like that. We need to see with that vision. We don't need to look at the circumstance and the situation that's facing us. We need to grab hold of the Word of God and conform our minds and our lives to that Word, because His Word is truth. Amen? And so this morning, it was pretty much in line, everything that I wanted to kind of get across sort of came across through words and different things and prayer. But also as well, I want to go over what the message was. But I also have something else that I want to share. So something in my own had prayer and fasting. Who does 365 prayer and fasting? For those of you who don't know, prayer and fasting 365, we have a roster in the church, and each person spends a day in prayer and fasting for the church or a particular ministry. And anyone is welcome to be a part of that. It's actually Veronica that heads that up. Veronica, are you? She's just over there, yeah? So, yeah, you can speak to Veronica and get put on that. But we spend time in prayer and fasting for the church, and God speaks to us and is constantly speaking to his church. We've just got to have ears to listen, amen? So, I really want to share a word from there as well, but I want to go back to the message I had last week, and you'll see how similar it is to what we're saying. So, I think it's something important to reemphasize. Also as well, as you know, our four focus points for this year, one of these focus points which we're hitting on at the moment is a heart for the lost. You know, it's having a missional mindset. So it's a missional mindset through a heart for the lost. And that's really crucial. Church, we need to get a heart for the lost. And hopefully today, I want to share that maybe some of the things that are actually stopping that. And maybe we can deal with that in prayer today, amen? Maybe we can actually come and meet God and say, God, change me. I don't want to be the same. So, but let's pray. Lord, you know my heart. And Lord, I want nothing more for your glory. Lord, let this place just be open. Let every heart in this place, every ear be opened, every eye be opened, every heart be open to your word this morning. What you want to do, Lord. Lord, open it up. Holy Spirit, we need you so badly. Pour out afresh in this place. Bring your fire. Bring a fire in this place, in our hearts. Jesus, as you're walking on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Lord, let our hearts burn within us today, Lord, when we hear your word. Lord, let us not be proud. Let us not be boastful or arrogant, Lord. Let us come in the spirit of humility this morning. Lord, you use a donkey to rebuke a prophet, Lord. So, Lord, I just want to humble myself before you and say you have your will and your way, Lord. Lord, you demonstrated last week you don't need me. But, Lord, you give me the privilege to share your heart with others. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for every person here as well, Lord. Every life that you have touched with the power of your gospel. Every life, Lord, that has been transformed by your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask for more, Lord. Daddy, please pour out more. Pour out more in this place. There's so much more. Let our desire for you rise up. Let our expectation for what you want to do in our lives rise. Lord, let us do away with shallow living, Lord. And shallow walking, Lord. Toe dipping, Lord. But Lord, let us dive in to the rivers of living water. Pour it out afresh in this place, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, if you could just go to the Help Wanted slide, David. Help Wanted, the harvest is great. As I was sharing last week before I introduced Pastor Peter Luke, saying that revival is breaking out around the globe. And then he come and shared about revival breaking out in PNG, in the parliament and everything like that as well. So that was great. And God is constantly calling us. He's constantly calling us to help in the great harvest. But the harvest is great, but God is looking for men and women to work in the harvest field. He's looking for men and women to proclaim and have their lives usher in the kingdom of heaven. He's looking for men and women who know Jesus and who walk with Jesus in their lives in everything that they do. Not conform to the world, but conform to Christ. That's what he's calling for. That's what he's looking for. That's who the type of laborers he wants to send out. And if we look at about it in any other work situation, every other workplace, there is a set of standards or qualifications that you need to actually work or do the job that you're called to do. And it's the same with God. God is saying, I need your heart. I need your heart. And sometimes we battle with that. Sometimes we want to be lord of our own hearts, masters of our own destiny, dictators of our own fate. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not God's heart for you. When we do that, we mess things up. But when God is in control, he brings order. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings the precious Holy Spirit. And more, we need to put ourselves in a place where we can acquire the Holy Spirit more and more in our lives. To be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. To be constantly within the presence of God. As it said, Jesus said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See, Jesus was a man of vision. Jesus saw that the harvest was truly great. The disciples didn't see that. And Jesus still today is saying, the harvest is truly great. The harvest around us, Merowa, your workplace, your families, your friends, the harvest is truly great. It really is. But the laborers are few. And so when we're focused on what we see, we're not actually looking with vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, sight just tells you what's going in front of you, but vision calls you into something greater than what you're currently seeing. See, to have vision is to actually see beyond the current circumstances in which you're facing. You'll ask anyone, any visionary leader or any place where you require vision, any type of goal you want to set, you have to have a vision of where you're going and what you're doing. And even though the circumstances and the situations don't line up with that, you push forward to the vision. It's the vision that gives you purpose. And so, are we failing to see the reality of the harvest? Is that what it is? You know, since the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Are there few laborers? Because we as the church, myself included, I'm not immune from this. Are we failing to see the reality of the harvest and maybe the reality of the harvest in our own lives? We only see the problems. We don't see the gospel entering into every area of our life. We don't see the kingdom of heaven breaking through in our relationships, in our finances. We don't see the kingdom of heaven breaking through in our love for one another, in our love for Jesus. We don't see those things. Is that where the problem lies? See, who are the laborers? You're right, us. Repeat after me, I am a laborer for the Lord. That's right, you are a laborer for the Lord. We've all been called to go out into the great harvest. We are God's workers. Now, I shared some weeks ago, and if you might remember, I'm not talking that we have to go out and do mighty crusades. I mean, praise God for Reinhard Bonnke, who's leading millions to the Lord in those different countries. But we all have a certain realm of influence, a certain area, a certain kingdom in which we operate in. And so God is not so much asking us to go and preach to thousands, but maybe just preach to the few. Remember I said it's about sowing, watering, and the harvest will come. Planting, watering, and the harvest will come. See, God is not looking for charismatic people to go out and stand on street corners and lead thousands. And that's great that that happens. But he is just looking for faithful men and women. That's all he's looking for. He desires obedience rather than sacrifice. You know, because if you're obedient in the small things, who knows, God may extend the realm of influence of where you speak into people's lives. When your life is living and matching up with the gospel, then you see people around you know there's something different about you. It's interesting because, you know, we had home group a couple of weeks ago, and we were all asking everybody's story about how they came to the Lord. And sorry, Nu, I have to use you in this. But basically, someone was sharing, and that someone was Michelle Bennett. She was sharing how being on the PNC and everything, that coming into contact with Nuana, there was just something different about her. She was just so full of joy and so full of love. And it just, she wanted that. She wanted that. And you see that that's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's that God is actually manifesting his life, his presence within your life, that you demonstrate and walk how Jesus walked. See, it's not about lording over people. It's actually coming in humility. It's actually coming in gentleness. It's actually coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who convicts, not us. And so, God is looking for faithful men and women to plant, to water, and harvest in their homes, their families, with their friends, in their businesses, to be salt and light in this world. Not to be salt in salt shakers on a table, but to be sprinkled out throughout this world. You are the salt of the earth. You know, and so we really need to understand that if we live lives that are lived out of love for God and love for one another, that we will be laborers in the harvest field. The harvest will come. And so I'd like to take us to the Great Commission, which is not a suggestion. It's actually a command. It's not the, you know, the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. As it says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And also he says in Mark as well, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tyler, have you shared the gospel with your horse yet? It says every creature, so our lives should live the gospel. The way we treat our families, the way we treat those that we've been entrusted with to care and nurture and look after. You know, you can love your horse the way Jesus loves. So, as I said, the Great Commission. And if you're a Christian, you're also an answer to prayer. Did you realize that? If you're sitting right now and you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you believe that he died for you, and you believe that he's washed away your sins with his blood, and that there's no condemnation for you now, that you have been called into this wonderful destiny, into this purpose of God to bring his glory to the earth, then you're an answer to prayer. I know that I'm an answer to prayer, to people's prayer. Every one of you here, someone was praying for you. Someone was praying for you. And we've been given this divine mandate to go into all the world and preach the good news because you are part of God's master plan. You're it. You are a part of his plan. There's no plan B. You are plan A. I want to ask you, how's that going for you this morning? How's plan A working out in your life? How's God's master plan working in your life this morning? We've got to be serious. We've got to be sober, guys. We have to be sober with this stuff because this is important. This is what God calls us to. It's not a light thing. Let me ask you, do you walk in your lives as someone with a divine mandate? Or are you being belted around by the wind and the waves? Albeit I'm not dismissing some of the realness and some of the struggles that people face. But Jesus says, take heart, for I've overcome the world. Do we walk with that divine mandate? Do we walk with purpose and vision? Do we walk filled with a deep abiding joy? Paul shared a couple of weeks ago about being the happiest people on earth. Do we walk with that? Do we walk with good news or bad news? Do we say that we believe the good news, but our life demonstrates that we've taken on some pretty bad news? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. I'm not here to bust anyone's chops or burst any bubbles, but as a family, we have to actually come to a place where we can honestly have a family discussion, right? We're a church body. You've been called into this body. We're a family. We're to be connected together and walk this thing through together. That's why we're here. We are His body, the representation of Him. And so, out of all these things that have been stirring up in me, God asked me the question, Matt, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? That's what we need to ask ourselves this morning. Guys, what's stopping you? What's stopping us? What's stopping us? You know, we had a time of prayer and fasting, and we had the week of prayer and fasting and seeking out those different four focus points that God had placed on our heart through prayer, and that having the heart for the lost was a real prayer. You know, but really, when we're praying for these things, if it's not a reality in our life, then our prayers are not weighty. They don't carry any authority. It's just a thing that we think we should pray. Who's ever like prayed for someone who's sick and you've just done it because that's what you do? Can anyone relate? Yep. Has there been any authority in that? No. Does it mean that God won't move through that despite you? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, when you connect with your divine mandate, when you connect with your purpose, when you connect with the reason why you do what you do, and you have authority in what you say, that becomes powerful. That becomes real. And God wants to bring this through the gospel. But I was just racking my brains and asking the Lord, Lord, what is it? What's stopping us as a church? And look, I know the Lord speaks to people different ways, but God said to me, the church is chucking a sickie. The church is chucking a sickie. Those of you who have not been in this country very long, chucking a sickie, like, Matez is, what's that? Oh, he knows. Okay, cool. I've said stuff before and he's like, had to ask, phone me up afterwards, yeah. But chucking a sickie is that basically you phone up to work and say, yeah, I'm not coming in today. Peter was sharing with me about the actual process you have to go through now at his workplace to chuck a sickie. You've like got to phone up Adelaide, and Adelaide have then got to send an email to the workplace, and then the workplace phone you up or something like that, and then you've got to get a doctor's appointment and then send the appointment through. It's just crazy. But really, almost most of us every day are actually saying to God, God, I love you, but today I'm chucking a sickie. I don't want to go to work in your harvest field today. You know, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel led. Let me give you a bit of advice. If you don't feel led, put a piece of lead in your pocket and then just grab it, because then you feel led. Sorry. That was profound, wasn't it? But yeah, we're chucking a sickie daily from going into the harvest field or in the work of the gospel. And I think some of this stems back to like an entitlement mentality. That somehow we think that, you know, salvation, we deserve it. And God's grace, we deserve it. And really, we're entitled as sons and daughters of God to just go, God, I know you love me, but I'm just not today. You know, thank you, Daddy, for all your amazing grace and everything. But, you know, just not today. I just don't feel up for it. But there are some genuine reasons why people don't, but most of them don't carry weight here. I mean, let's look at what's stopping you. I mean, my excuses, these are my excuses that I used to use when I used to work. Comfort, laziness, or sickness. So, for example, in comfort, I used to have to cycle 45 minutes down Wanneroo Road up towards Neves Road to get to a job. And some days in the middle of winter, you really don't want to get out of bed, do you? You just like it's nice and warm inside. You're so cozy. And then you're just thinking about this 45-minute hard slog in the wind and rain to get to work. And you just think to yourself, I really need $200 today. You know, do I really need... It's so nice here. I think I might just phone in sick. You see, I'm just, if anyone can relate, then I won't, you know... But this is, I'm just speaking about me at the moment. And the Lord said to me during our time of prayer and fasting, Matt, comfort is killing us. Comfort in our lives. We gear everything. The reason why we work so hard to gain money is to bring comfort. It's to have our security, to have those things that we like. I mean, as you know, I love a good cup of coffee. It's comforting, you know? But really, when we justify these things, God is actually saying to us as a church that comfort is killing us. You know, it blows me away that in the most persecuted and hardest places where Christianity is, it is flourishing. People are getting their heads cut off. They're watching their kids be killed. And it's flourishing? That just makes no sense. Yet in here, we have, you could watch multiple teachings. You could get multiple different Bibles. You could go to some of the best churches with some of the greatest worship team, like our worship team, and also get amazing teachings, better than this guy standing in front of you and telling you what's on his heart. But we're dying. We're withering away. Because we've been so accustomed to comfort and we've brought it into the church. The world loves comfort and it's been brought in here as well. And so this is what he was saying to me as well. Laziness is being apathetic. Sometimes, you know, you have those days, I just can't be bothered. Just really can't be bothered. Yep, I know I have to go to work and yep, I know it'll be a good day to work, but just can't be asked, you know. We do that as well. It's called apathy. We become apathetic in the work of the gospel. Just an honest show of hands at the moment, please. I just be real with each other. Who has actually shared the gospel with someone last month? Anyone? Who shared the gospel with someone or one person last year? That's awesome. And I would love every hand to just go, poof. And I know that sometimes there's confusion about how to do that in the best way. And we want to lead you in that as well. That's why we have the hub. That's why we have teaching and training. And there is also going to be an evangelism course coming up in term two as well that you can be a part of if you need those things. But even just grabbing with someone, but even just making this gospel real in your life, that will be a big step. And so, you know, as I said, when we're apathetic and we're lazy, we don't walk in the fullness of what God has called us to. And he also said to me as well that another cause is sickness. Sickness. Spiritual sickness. What's your spiritual health like this morning? Have you had a spiritual health check? How do you even do that? It's wrestled in a place of prayer. See, some of us spiritually, we're suffering from exhaustion. We're spiritually exhausted. We can't take anything that takes time and persistence and perseverance in the place of prayer, the place of wrestling with God. We're exhausted. And one of the reasons why is we're so busy. How you been? Busy. We're so busy with everything, but we're not busy with the things of God. And so we're emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually drained because we're busy in our lives constantly. Malnutrition. We're not feeding on the Word. It's a spiritual sickness, malnutrition, where we're not constantly in the Word, constantly bringing ourselves before the Word of God and letting it change our mind and transform us. And also as well, some of us, you know, this he just speaks to me in different ways, but gastro or food poisoning. You know, I've been away from work with that and it's not pleasant. Some of you may have suffered it recently. But it's when those things, something is not agreed with us. We're children of God. And because we've taken on something, a virus or a bug, we just yuck just starts coming out of us everywhere. No holding back. And we can't help it. And we're going, God, what's going on? Make it stop, make it stop. But it's just coming out everywhere. Spiritual gastro is horrible. And also as well, there's injury. Injury can come in many forms, but one of the key ones is not wearing the armor of God. We do not recognize that we are in a spiritual battle, that we need the armor of God. And so many, many Christians go out into their world, into their work, into their families, not suitably protected by the armor of God. And when that happens, we get damaged, we get injured. And sometimes it can come from other people. And what we need to do is, as in workplace, when we're injured, the boss gives you workers' compensation. The company gives you workers' compensation. And it's to rehabilitate you. And maybe some of you who are spiritually injured at the moment need some rehabilitation. And the workers' compensation, it's got no clause on it. It's free. Come forward and receive healing. And so, underlying these reasons of why this comfort, laziness, and sickness, there's real reasons why this is going on, why we're chucking a sickie. And I believe it's the reason why we're possibly not walking in the fullness of what God has to offer, what God has paid for us by the blood of his Son. And that is lack of vision, lack of purpose, and a lack of love. You see, it's just the same as in a job. If you're in a job where you see no vision, you don't see your life going anywhere with this job. You ultimately have no purpose in doing what you're doing. And you will just punch in and punch out. You just collect your money at the end of the week. But there's no real passion, no real drive, no love for what you do. You're just doing it because it meets a need. And sometimes we're doing that as well in the church. We come because it meets a need. Not because we've grabbed hold of the vision and the purpose that God has for us. And we haven't got God's heart. And that's what we need most of all. See, some of you may be looking at this and, you know, I don't even know why I'm here, Matt. I don't even know why I'm in this place. And I want to tell you, you were born to be men and women of purpose, vision, and destiny. You have been called to be co-workers with God. You've been such an amazing calling, such an amazing gift, such an amazing privilege to bear the name of Jesus Christ in this earth. Angels, it says, just wait to hear what comes out of your mouth. All of heaven is in eager expectation. All of creation is in eager expectation to see the manifest sons of God, to see God's sons and daughters manifested in this earth. Have you got hold of that? Is that active in your life? Are you walking with that divine mandate, that divine purpose, the heavenly vision? Because if you're not, that's going to be stopping you. See, Jesus was a man of vision. Jesus had the toughest assignment, but it was the vision of the redemption of mankind that gave him the endurance to carry the cross. And as we read in Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What vision has God given you? Because that's what's going to carry you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. David, can you just, I had this video. Some of you weren't here for the vision weekend, but I just want to play this vision again, this vision video again, and just really just focus on this. So I'm just going to, if you can turn the lights off and turn the sound up, please.
Vision is the key to your life having meaning. Every human was created by God to live life with meaning and purpose. You were not created just to make a living. Until you discover that purpose for which you was created, you will never be fulfilled. Never. You'll be frustrated, disillusioned, tired, grumbling and disgruntled, not knowing why you're waking up on Monday mornings. The 21st century is a century that demands visionary leadership, not only in the church and in government and in civic and educational institution, but also in the home. Because if you have a home headed by a leader, a father, or a mother, if it's a single parent who don't have a vision for that family will be bogged down in depression. Vision itself has the nature of destroying barriers. As a matter of fact, vision itself demands the destruction of barriers. Because vision is the capacity to see beyond the barriers. This church is a result of vision. There must be a clear image of vision that breaks the barrier of limited thinking. See beyond your eyes. Visionary leadership is the ability to cause other people to see a vision of the future. This church was not raised up just for you. It was raised up for your unborn great-grandchildren. Belong to them, not you. You may never be in them, but you gotta build them. Sometimes we live to pay off our mortgages rather than live to make a difference. How do you know when a vision is from God or not from God? Any vision that only benefits you is not from God. proves the many.
If you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 18. I need some different translations, though. Who's got different translations? Can I get one of the ushers just to give us a hand a sec? Pardon? Proverbs 29, verse 18. Yep. Ah, thanks, Andy. I need some different translations, so if you've got, maybe if you've got a an Amplified, or maybe you've got a NIV or a Passion translation. Let's read some of these out. Who wants to go? Come on. Here we go. I got. Yeah, you want to go first? Yep.
Which one is she reading?
Pardon?
29:18.
Yeah, 29:18.
This is
29:18.
NIV. Where yep. There is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law.
Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint.
Amplified, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and inviolable is he.
What translation was that? Amplified, was it? Yeah. So, sorry, that was just where there's no divine revelation. Sorry, Andy. So my papers are blown away.
Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and inviolable is he.
Awesome. And Carolyn? I know Carolyn was waiting. This gentleman, oh, that gentleman next. Yep, sorry, sir.
Okay, this is the King James.
King James.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Yep. Awesome. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Yep, Carolyn, and then we got Trish, and then, sorry, we got Isabel, and then Trish.
So this is revised English version. With no one in authority, the people throw off all restraint, but he who keeps God's law leads them on a straight path.
Awesome. And then for Isabel from the... Is this the Passion Translation? Awesome.
When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the Word, heaven's bliss fills your soul.
Wow. And there we go. And Trish there. Trish has the message, is it?
Yeah, I've got the message. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed.
Do you see how important vision is? See, I just didn't randomly just go, let's listen to some different translation. Every time you heard that word, it's going inside of you. We heard different things where there's no prophetic revelation. Where there's no vision, the people perish. God puts an extreme emphasis on vision. And it's having the right vision. Because he knows is that if we do not have a vision that's focused on him and his glory, ultimately we perish. Ultimately our lives go bankrupt. We go astray to the left and the right. We're all like sheep wandering. All like sheep who've gone astray. And so when we looked at that other video, this church has a vision. It's a God-given vision to be an apostolic and prophetic center to the nations built on a foundation of prayer. This church, this body, has its vision and mandate from God of where it's going. And its purpose is to heal, train, and send. Its mission to heal, train, and send. And so vision is also needed in your own lives. We've got to be a people of vision, not a people of sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so, you see, when you have a godly vision, you have purpose. And maybe some of you have been at this church for a while and you're a bit new to all this. Well, I want to invite you to Divine Connection that's coming up next month. And you'll actually get to hear our heartbeat and the reason why we do what we do. You get to connect with the vision and purpose of this church that will actually bring breakthrough into your own lives. And so I want to look at as well another reason that Jesus was as well. Jesus was a man of purpose. Jesus understood and embraced his purpose, laying his own will aside. As we read in John 6 verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." See, when I used to box, and some of you find that hard to believe because of the size I am, but when I used to box, I was a very, 75 kilos, a bit more than that now. But I trained hard because I had a vision. I had a vision that I wanted to take the state novice title. I trained hard for it. Everything that I did, my whole purpose and everything was geared towards that vision. Let me ask you, is God's vision for your life, is the vision, the heavenly vision of Christ exalted in every area of your life, is that driving your purpose? Because it drove Jesus' purpose. You see, your vision serves your purpose. Without a vision, there's no purpose and you perish. So with our vision of being a prophetic and as apostolic and prophetic center of a nation built on a foundation of prayer, that gives us the purpose to heal, train, and send. That's why we do it. And also as well, we have also the prophetic as well that leads that. The prophetic is so important in your life. You need to have the prophetic speak into your life. That's why it's a gift to the church. Without, as it said in one of the translations, without prophetic revelation, the people perish. Is the prophetic word of God speaking in your life, or is the word just dry? Is it just words on a page with no power? Is it just you come to church and you sing these words on the screen and they have no meaning? They have no fire with them. See, without prophetic word, it can really lead us in a place of dryness spiritually. But it's also another thing that's really important that we must do with the prophetic word, is that's put it into action. When you receive a prophetic word, don't just go, "Oh yeah, that's nice," and then just carry on living the way you're living. No, the prophetic word must come and it must be obeyed. It must be seen to be actually working in your life. And so another reason of why Jesus was not stopped, because Jesus was a man of love. See, if you have no love in your heart, you become dry and dead. As it says, in the book of Revelation, it says, "You have forsaken your first love." Is there anyone here who's forsaken their first love? Has it just come about religion? Has it just come about making an appearance and maybe having a good worship set or having a good teaching? Is there any love and passion for Christ that you just come in this place and you say, "God, change me. I want to be more like you. Daddy, change me." Is there a yearning in your heart to be with him in the secret place? Is there a yearning in your heart to go and steal away and be with him in his presence in prayer? Is there a love for him? I mean, some of you, when you first got saved, there was a chasing down of him. You chased him down. When's the next service? When's the next thing on? When, where are more believers gathering together? Where can we worship together? There was a real love and a passion to chase after him. Is that dry? God wants to restore that. God wants to redeem that. See, when you're in love with someone or something, that object becomes your sole focus and attention. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. When I met Haley, nothing else mattered. I saw her, you know, and it was the first woman I could not take my eyes from staring in her eyes. You know, it transformed me. That I just knew I had to be with her. There was just no other way. Have you met Jesus that way, church? Have you met Jesus that way? Have you looked into his eyes? Have you seen his passion? Have you seen his love? No man loves me first, lest he first see my love. I want that for you so badly, because the rest of this stuff in the world is just tripe and it's all fuel for the fire. It's fuel for the fire. He knows, he says to the church, I encourage you, church, buy from me. Get from me. Come to me. Be filled. See, today is asking for a new heart. God is asking for a new heart. A heart that loves him. And a heart that is called to work in the harvest field and share this love with the world. A heart that is overflowing with the love of God into the lives of people around you. And that's not something we can teach. It's not taught, it's caught. You can't do this unless you actually seek him and say and admit to him, God, I'm dry on the inside. God, I need you so badly. God, pour out afresh in my heart. See, the church was dangerous when it first birthed on that day of Pentecost, because the fire of the Holy Spirit came down and their hearts were burning. And the fire, the presence of God was on, and they spoke in tongues. And the power of the Holy Spirit moved through Peter's preaching that much that 3,000 souls were saved on that day. 3,000 souls on that day. And you know, when Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be a bold witness. You will be a bold witness. Is fear crippling you this morning? Is that what it is? Is that what's stopping you? Let's deal with it. So look, let me tell you, you were born to have a vision. You were created for a purpose. You all here were made to love. And without wrestling for God with that in prayer, without coming to God for that, I can't give it to you. No minister here, we can't live up to that expectation. We can't walk for you. We can encourage you and spur you on and bring you to that place. But we're there daily wanting to seek that. We ask you to step into it as well. Because without it, this won't work. Eventually, you'll be a nun or you'll be a done. I'm done with church. Or I don't want anything to do with it. But guys, there is something here for you here. And I want to tell you that one of the primary things that is stopping you is faith. See, sometimes we don't seek God because we don't believe that he's going to meet us. Because we're so used to an instant fix. We're so used to have it now, pay later. And so faith is the vehicle that moves you past your sight, beyond your vision and into your destiny. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Diligently pursuing him. Getting hold of the vision. Grabbing hold of faith and say, God, I will not let you go. Jacob wrestled in prayer with God all night, and he came out as Israel. That may be some of you today. And those of you who are good with all this and saying, yep, that's I can tick those boxes. Intercede for us, please. Pray for us. We need this released in the church. We can't play this shallow Christianity any longer. We can't have a form of godliness but denying the power therein. We need to get real with God and we need to seek Him. We need to search for Him. See, I believe God is calling the church to a fresh step of faith this morning. That God can give you a heart for the lost and the prophetic vision to give you a clear understanding of your purpose. That you are called to let this gospel into every area of your life, into the people in your world, to join Jesus in the Great Commission. And we're going to have the worship team up here, and they've just got a couple of songs they're going to pray through, and we're just going to take this moment. Because I really feel we need this church to get honest with God and ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, for a baptism of fire, to be filled to overflowing. I'm just going to pray. Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you are just so graceful towards us, so full of mercy and compassion. Your love is never failing. And Lord, that we can come to you this morning and confess our need and confess that we desperately need you. Lord, we don't want to chuck a sickie from the work that you've called us to, the higher vision and the purpose you're leading us into, for the love that you want to pour out in our hearts, Lord. Love for you. Love for the world and love for those, Lord, who do not know you. Jesus, you love the world, Lord. It says in your word, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And I want to ask this morning, Lord, that you would come in conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we wouldn't be focused about our schedules or our time, but we want to focus on you, Lord. It's amazing, Lord, when we actually give you time, that we seek you diligently. Lord, you come and you transform us and change us. So, Lord, I just ask that we can come before you. And, Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you this morning as their Lord and Savior, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, who is living in opposition to you, Lord. Their lives are not living in truth. They are the Lord of their own heart and you are not Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just bring conviction right now. Bring conviction of the purpose and destiny that you have for them. Bring conviction of sin where their lives are living in selfishness and self-centeredness. A life just focused on their own needs and wants. That, Lord, you created us to reflect your image and your glory. And that to buy that back, the fallen nature, you gave yourself on the cross and paid for our sins and prayed for the things that we've done wrong, that we can receive you by faith and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. And Father, please, please, we need you so badly. Please move in this place. I know that you're already working things through people's hearts. But Lord, give them the courage and the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit to step forward, Lord, and say, yep, I need you. Yes, God, I want to surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you here, that's you. God has put his finger on you, on your heart. I want to invite you up to the front. I want to pray for you. I want the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And for the rest of you, can we just stand and engage with this song? And let it be a cry of our hearts this morning before we leave this place.